You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Apparently I was supposed to say, yee-haw!
That's pretty good, actually. That wasn't too bad at all. So today on the show, Al is on vacation, which means it's me, Brian Max, and special guest star, PC Sean Shapiro from the Toronto Police.
Hello and welcome.
Well, thanks for joining us.
I'm very happy to be here again. I always have fun when I hang out with you guys.
Well, absolutely, but it was an adventure getting here, wasn't it?
You know what? There was a lot of snow on my street and the surrounding area, but once I got onto the main roads, they were nicely plowed and everything was copacetic.
Well, my drive took me through the middle of the city, and the disturbing part of the drive was that there were far too many pedestrians walking on the road.
Interesting. You know, I hear it a lot. I see it on social media. There's a big issue with the streets, or at least the sidewalks, not being plowed. But that is still not a good solution going on the road. There may be less snow, but you're now putting yourself in the target path of a moving vehicle that may be losing control.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still so much snow on the road that, you know, I wasn't trusting any drivers around me.
But I can totally appreciate where it may look like a good idea. And for those that are on wheeled devices or have mobility issues, where it may be what they have to do, but it is high risk.
Yeah, and you know, at this very moment, we had that big snowstorm overnight. It's clear now, but a lot of sidewalks haven't been cleared yet, and it's tough. So I'd recommend staying home right now.
You know what? If you don't have to travel, absolutely, we prefer you to stay home. And this is a multi-day process of snow removal, and they're going to do priority areas first, and they're going to move in. So if you don't have to go, don't go.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit, because you've got some extra insight into, you know, traffic operations than normal people. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. We also have Michael Pierce from the Auto Loft, theautoloft.ca. We're going to talk about creating extra storage in your garage.
I need more storage. I don't have a lot of cars, but I have a lot of stuff.
Michael can help. No problem. And also, coming up next weekend is Motorama, and we've got Greg McPherson from Motorama coming up in a little bit. And I think a lot of people are looking forward to Motorama. I'm sure it's going to be a very, very busy show.
I like getting out and seeing stuff. And yeah. I used to go to all these shows before. We used to go as a Toronto Police, and now I hope we get to do this again, because we're sort of out of the routine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I think we're good. Everybody wants to be back at car shows and all of that. And the numbers from the Toronto Auto Show were impressive. I think it was the third most attended show of all time, if I remember correctly.
Get out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very well attended, and a lot of interesting things this year. So, you know, we saw some interesting things there, but a lot of activations. So you were able to drive an EV indoors, which is kind of cool.
I saw that on social media. I heard about it when I was there, and I was only there on the media day for a short time, so I missed out on all the opportunities to see the cool stuff.
Yeah, and of course, all the kids wanted to see the Lego Lamborghini.
I saw that. Took some photos and put it on social media. But what I wanted to do is drive that armored vehicle that I met up with you at.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, could you drive that indoors?
No.
No. You'd probably crush vehicles with that thing.
Well, is that part of the track? Like,
Maybe. Well, we need to, create an adventure and drive one of those fantastic armored vehicles somewhere.
Yes, and I'd like it. They had a turret on top, so I'd like a chance to play with that too.
Yeah, can we mount active weapons on that?
Not here so much, but in the States you can do all sorts of things.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, my favorite place. I'm going there again. And I missed the show last week because it was on Vancouver Island. And believe it or not, I was there one of the 2 days that it actually snows on the island.
And was that when you were on the boat? Because you sent me a picture that you were on a boat.
Oh, no, that was after.
Oh.
yeah. So we finished up at the racetrack. And as soon as the track was done for the day, snow started falling from the sky. And that turned into a blizzard. and that turned a 90-minute drive to 3 hours.
That's no fun.
No, it was no fun at all. Anyway, we were going to be back. We've got some more stuff to talk about, you and I. Maybe traffic, maybe weather.
I like it.
And we'll be back right after the break.
Sounds like a plan.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max, back in studio after a week away with PC Sean Shapiro from the Toronto Police, because Alan Gellman is on vacation. Who knew that he could leave the country, but he can.
They let him do that?
Somebody did.
Wow.
Unless he's hiding at home. I don't know.
It wasn't my turn to watch him, so I don't know what he's doing.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, if he is down south, he's enjoying some better weather than we've got. And you were saying earlier that traffic operations is going to have a whole lot of work to do with respect to clearing the roads in the city.
Anytime we have a big storm, it's not just the guys driving the snowplows who are just driving around aimlessly. There's an entire organizational plan that goes into play that combines the city emergency services. You know, we're all working together to ensure that whatever comes our way, we're ready to respond. And that's no different than it was yesterday. The city was talking about the fact that this is going to take a couple of days to get on top of, regardless of what happens. Just the amount of snow, it's a lot. But they're on it. Like they have been nonstop, and the communication has been continuous. They had to shut down certain roads yesterday. They diverted clearing of snow to certain areas to make sure we'd be back in the go as soon right. as possible. And they did a great job.
Yeah, I had no trouble getting down here, except for the side streets. That was a little bit dodgy. But the rest of it, the major streets, were relatively clear. There were a lot of people on the roads who just, I don't know why they were driving. They looked a little helpless and a little aimless.
Well, like I said, on the way down here, I passed a lot of vehicles that were freshly into the snowbanks at the side of the road. Right. It is still slippery. It is still something you have to drive with caution. Even if it looks clear, you got to slow down. Your vehicle does not handle the way you'd think it would on dry road or even light snow.
Oh, absolutely. And that, you know, that goes back to the old the physics question. You know, today I'm driving this SUV and it's on winter tires. So I've got all kinds of traction when I step on the gas. But the same laws of physics apply when I step on the brake. And that, you know, I've got maybe slightly better traction than an all-season tire, but my stopping distances are increased massively. And on top of that, what's happening today is the road surface is not consistent. So you're going from snow to slush to wet to maybe dry.
Well, and it's, when you put a snowplow across the top surface, it makes a nice, smooth surface. But until vehicles start driving on it and melting it down to the road, you're still on a packed, flat surface. It's slippery. Mm-hmm. So you got to slow down. I forgot what I was going to say. I totally lost it. There was something I was going to say. It was brilliant, I'm sure.
I'm sure it was brilliant. Well, I can tell you a little bit of a story about traveling on Vancouver Island last week in a blizzard. I saw several, and like probably a dozen or more, abandoned cars in ditches, on their roofs, all kinds of things. And I don't know, probably half a dozen jackknife tractor trailers on that route.
Well, there's 18-wheelers that were on the 404 this morning on my way down. And there were a lot of vehicles carrying an extra load on their roofs.
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew? If you've got to clear not just the window, but the roof.
Yeah.
There was a chap, I took a picture of them. I had to pull over. I had to take a picture because it was such an enormous amount of snow that they needed bungee cords to transport that safely.
It was, you know, it's a lot of weight of snow. You show me the photo. The SUV looked like it was already loaded with a couple hundred pounds of additional weight. That suspension was a little compressed. And, you know, it's not only the additional weight, but it's when that flies off and, you know, lands on another driver's windshield, car, whatever. It's completely unsafe, and you have a responsibility to clear your car completely of snow.
Well, I've had people call in and say that they've been hit by flying debris, yep. snow and ice from the top of a car, smashing windshields.
Yep.
You're creating that situation. You are the catalyst to that damage. You should be held responsible for it, and you are if we catch you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some people think that because, you know, snow falls from the sky, they're not responsible for it, but indeed you are.
Yeah, it's funny. You're even responsible if you plow your snow onto somebody else's property. Like, there are laws and bylaws in place. You're responsible for everything in this day and age, and you should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's the price, one of the prices we pay for living in this part of the world.
I remembered my genius thing. It wasn't
Ooh,
so genius.
That?
It was just that a lot of people ask about sliding through red lights and yellow lights in snowy, slippery conditions. They wonder if they're responsible for that. When they get a red light ticket, can they fight it? Because, well, hey, they tried to stop but couldn't. If you're driving beyond the abilities to of your vehicle to handle and stop and whatnot, because of the road conditions, well, you're driving too quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
You can be charged with careless driving, even if you're driving below the speed limit or at the speed limit. Yeah. If you're doing it in such a way that it's not safe.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter. And, in this part of the world, we drive in winter conditions all the time. This is nothing new. So, everybody knows, everybody should know and remember that it takes a little bit longer to stop in winter. It's one of those things. But that's why we have winter tires and we take extra care in the winter. Now, for me, I really enjoy driving these conditions because I can slide around.
Sliding around is fun.
It was inadvertently, though.
But now it's stunt driving.
Nah, it wasn't stunt driving. It's definitely not stunt driving. Anyway, we're going to be back after the break with Michael Pierce from the Auto Loft to talk about some very cool vehicle storage solutions.
I want to hear all about this.
We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max here in studio with PC Sean Shapiro from the Toronto Police Service. And joining us on the line is Michael Pierce from the Auto Loft. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well. We managed to make it into the studio today, so it's all good. Now, Michael, you've got an interesting business, but what you really know a lot about is car storage.
Yeah, well, we started it. It all started about 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years. Actually, it was 11 years ago. My wife mistakenly said, if we're going to store our own cars, we should start storing other people's cars as well. Because at that time, I think we had about 11 cars of our own that we were storing. And so we started storing cars. And it just, as we continued to grow, it was a natural offshoot that we needed to put lifts in for ourselves to use the maximum of our space. And then we started offering, installing, and supplying all our own lifts. And I've gotten to the point now that we bring in lifts from about three different manufacturers by container every month. And we're doing all of Southern Ontario with all kinds of different lifts, with our starting with the basic four posts and working up from there.
Well, that is fantastic. And that makes a lot of sense. Now, if you've got an existing garage, and lifts, if you've seen one, they do take up a bit of space. How does someone determine whether a lift will fit in their garage?
Well, the biggest determination is not the actual size of the garage by length and width. It's actually the height. So the question we always get asked is, will a lift fit in our garage? But the bigger consideration, or the first question, should be, will the cars that I wish to store fit in my garage? Because it always is based on the overall height. And what's going on now is you'll see builders with all kinds of different heights in the garages. So there's no standard height. And our vehicles are getting taller, and we're also getting more vehicles. So we'll get a person calling up saying, I have a 911 and I have a Macan. And so will the lift fit? And it comes down to saying, okay, well, a lift will fit, but let's look at the ceiling height. And as you example, with those two vehicles, if you've got a 10-foot ceiling height, you're going to be very tight to put a lift in there that'll fit both the vehicles. Whereas if we had two sedans, they would both fit.
I have a silly question for you. I have one vehicle. Well, actually, not sure. I have a motorcycle as well. Do you have lifts for other stuff, maybe just storage? Are there other ways to utilize your equipment?
Yeah, so what we do is not only do we have car lifts, we also have motorcycle lifts. So we have a motorcycle platform lift, we have a motorcycle one-post lift. We have all kinds of specialty lifts that we will produce. So as an example, if you want to put your motorcycle and your car on a lift, we can create a solid bed lift that will be long enough for both the vehicles to be on. And one can enter from one end and the other can enter from the other end.
See, my thing is I just need to put the stuff my wife wants out of the house.
Right. Exactly.
She just wants me to put my stuff up.
So is your motorcycle in the living room right now?
So we have this problem all the time. And the standard lift that everybody knew about for many years was a four-post lift that had two runways. But we're having more and more people are saying, well, I want to be able to store something. If I'm not putting my car on in the summer, can I store everything else in there, like the snowblower, like the motorcycle? And yes, so what we do is we have a solid bed platform lift. It can either be a four-post, a one-post, or a two-post that you can have, that you can use as a storage facility in your own garage while your vehicles are safe at the same time.
Yeah, you know, the first question people are going to have is how much they cost, but also there's some consideration in terms of timing and how long it takes to order one and install it. So how does that process work for you?
Well, the least expensive, the question is always, what's the cost? The least expensive lift is always a standard four-post lift, and there's all kinds of standard four-post lifts that they can start as inexpensively, let's say, as about $3,500 and work their way up from that. And basically, you'll get what you pay for. Then you can go into the specialty type of lifts that'll be more expensive, of course, but they're meeting specific needs. Your minimum, basically, if you're looking from us as an example, we pretty much keep everything in stock except for the specialty lifts that we have to order in, and we'll bring them in one of our containers. But the standard turnaround, if we have it in stock, we'll have everything turned around within 3 weeks. If we have to order and make a special lift for you, like right now we've got a number of double wides on order that are specialty, one's wider, one's taller, one's longer, one's shorter. Those could take up to about 3 months. Once they arrive, and it's basically the shipping as well as the production, once they arrive, we typically have everything installed within 2 weeks.
And that's not bad. That's not bad timing at all. Are there many considerations around installing a lift in terms of electrical, in terms of fixing the lift to the floor of the garage?
Sir, that's a good question because it's always coming up. The majority of our lifts we use is a 110 power source. It's a plug and play. We do that on purpose so they fit easily into pretty much every garage. The only time the power source in your garage won't work is if you're going to a specialty lift that we have to use the 220 power source. Then you would need an electrician. Either we bring our own in or you have an electrician come in to prepare by putting an additional power source in the garage right where the lift is. But we work with you to actually make sure that is in the correct place so it's easily to actually access and done right away. In regard to the floor, the standard four-post lift and a standard lift will basically work on pretty much any floor. We only need to anchor them when we get to a specialty lift or if we have a nervous customer or if we have a floor that's not really flat or straight and we want to plumb the posts. So then we need to anchor to be able to get the post plumbed so they actually look nice and straight. Or if we've got a nervous customer who says, I just don't want to have it not attached to the floor, such as our own lifts at home are not attached to the floor.
Yeah, my buddy has it on wheels, so he can roll it around, so that's great. It gives you some options, especially if you rent or whatnot.
Exactly. So the standard four-post will come with what's called casters that you can move the lift around so you don't have to anchor it.
Now, Michael, if somebody wants to find more information, how do they reach you?
So first off, they can go to our website. There's all kinds of videos on our website of all of our different lifts and all the specs. We also have a YouTube channel now that shows a number of our different lifts that we keep adding to. Or they can call us directly, and I actually go out and spend a lot of time doing on-site quotes and preparing their garage for the exact type of lift that they need.
That's right. Awesome.
And Michael, what's the phone number and what's the website?
Our website is, of course, www.theautoloft.ca. So three words altogether, theautoloft.ca. And you can call me directly on my cell number. It's 416-200-7141.
Awesome.
We also have a 1-800 number on the website.
Fantastic.
All right, Michael, thank you very much for joining us. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with special guest star, PC Sean Shapiro of Toronto Police. And, it's another interesting driving day in the city. Unfortunately, the roads are not clear, and there's been some challenges.
It's always an interesting day to drive in Toronto. It's just this one's interesting for an entirely different reason.
Right, which is a lot of snow on the roads.
Yeah, you know what? I found it quite relaxing because nobody else was out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a very clear drive.
Yeah, for me as well. But it was the pedestrians again. The pedestrians out in the middle of the road. What I don't know what people are thinking.
And that's not to complain about them. It's just we're worried about them.
That's exactly it. And you know, I always take care around pedestrians, and you know, that's my responsibility. My skill set is much higher than the average driver or you know, basically all drivers on the road. So I have a responsibility for, you know, myself and all the other drivers around me, all the cyclists, all the motorcyclists, and all the pedestrians. So if I can control that situation, make sure everybody's safe, I'm going to do that.
Well, I wish everyone would take that outlook because, we, you know, as drivers, we're carrying the most weight. We have the most damage that we cause if things go wrong. And that puts a responsibility on us. But it doesn't take away the responsibility of others. And that is where everyone has to play a role in their own safety. And it's not to victim blame. It's not to point a finger and say it's somebody else's fault if a driver hits a pedestrian. No, the driver's still responsible for a lot. But we could improve the chances of getting hurt if we do some things. And part of that is not putting ourselves into especially dangerous positions.
Exactly. Like walking in the middle of Avenue Road.
Yeah.
That was not great. For me, the concern is other drivers, because I saw, you know, it was obvious. Several drivers that I saw on the road today had their all-season tires. And it's like, you're not going anywhere, and you're not going to be able to stop with those tires today.
Tires is a big thing. People don't think that changing them is important because someone told them that all seasons are all seasons, and all seasons are generally most seasons.
Or as my friends like to say, no season.
You know, it's there. I grew up not using snow tires,
okay.
And it was night and day when I finally changed over to using them. So I will forever have snow tires now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're you know, and I've been fortunate to be firsthand on, you know, tire testing venues, and it's obvious how much better winter tires are, and it's just a night and day difference. And you know, I think most of our listeners get that. And in this part of the world, it's so easy to run a set of summer tires and a set of winter tires.
Well, very often it's an argument of cost. And if you have two sets of tires, it's more expensive in the initial outlay, but they last twice as long because you're only using them half as much time each.
Exactly. And by the time you're done with your summer tires and your winter tires, it's time to change them anyway.
Absolutely. And I wonder how much snow's in Tweed, Ontario, because someone watching on TikTok right now says that they're in Tweed.
And
do you know where Tweed is?
I think it's east, like north of Kingston. I think.
I don't know.
I think. I could be wrong, but
hopefully
I think I'm right.
Hopefully they have winter tires.
Yeah, well, anywhere in this province. Last week on Vancouver Island, I could not, you know, they joke out there that it snows 2 days out of the year, and I got all of the snow on one day. It just was, you know, I was expecting to drive on some beautiful roads, have an enjoyable drive, and then here we are. We're driving through a blizzard. But it was worth it because I went snowboarding.
Very nice.
And, you know, the lifestyle on that island, the roads are amazing. That's one of the things I shot an episode out there and I had to share with viewers on YouTube. The roads on Vancouver Island, I think, are one of the best kept secrets in North America.
Really?
The roads are fantastic. They don't have, you know, the extreme climate like we do, especially with winter. And, you know, the roads are beautiful. They're mountainous. It's the scenery is gorgeous.
Yeah, I've got to get some time and go out there and spend some more time, because usually when I travel, I go outside of Canada.
Right.
I have not spent enough time traveling within Canada since I was a kid anyway.
Yeah, it is. You know, I've been fortunate to head out there for business a lot, and it is a beautiful place. I can really get into living in the Victoria area for sure.
Yeah, okay. We'll have to talk about relocating.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting place, but you know, one day I went driving in sports cars. The other day I had some work to do. Another day I went snowboarding, and another day I went boating.
I could get used to that.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'd do any of those things. I would just relax a lot.
Well, that's kind of what I did. That's kind of what I did. Now the boating may have included cigars, but you know, it was one of those things. It was a lovely experience. But even out there, there's especially on the island, a lot of drivers don't have winter tires because they have their literal 2 days of winter.
Well, and I saw some of the photos of people just completely out of their element because of that. And I imagine that's pretty scary. And for people, we have a lot of people coming from other countries and have never dealt with winter. And then they spend their first winter in Ontario, and it's scary. It's new.
Yeah, yeah. We don't do a good job of educating drivers about winter driving, and we should do a better job as the provincial we, not just me, because I do teach at performance driving schools, and you know, I do my job, but I'd like more people to learn more advanced driver techniques.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot on our show with Ask a Traffic Cop weekdays, and that is, should we have annual requalifications for drivers? Is it too easy to become a driver today? Because when I was a kid, there were higher standards, I'd like to believe. And although there's now a graduated system, it takes longer, and the idea is to develop experience behind the wheel. But are they becoming better drivers or not?
There's the uninformed argument that I would present, which is there's not a lot of education that's part of that graduated licensing system that should be part of it.
See, if we mandated instruction, you'd have a curriculum that you'd meet, as opposed to just being able to pass simple tests. So can you drive, you know, for a half an hour without hitting anything?
Yeah, that's pretty much how the test goes these days. If you don't hit anything, you kind of pass.
Well, it's really concerning because I see a lot of things on the road and we're charging people with a lot of offenses that people should know better. And if they don't know, and the excuses they say they don't know, then you have to find out. And is that just because you read the handbook, or is it because you get professional instruction, or do you watch a show like Ask a Traffic Cop and ask the questions? Whichever it is, you need to educate yourself, and otherwise you get those consequences.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, and still, you know, every time I come back to Toronto, inevitably I'm on the 401 leaving the airport, and there is somebody with a broken down car or stopped car on the left shoulder of the 401, which is a dangerous place.
A message just came up on my TikTok, said, I can't afford more tests. If you add more tests, it's going to cost me more money. That's cost prohibitive.
Yep.
And I get that. But it's expensive also to repair your car because you smashed into something, or maybe $600 ticket for doing the wrong thing. So it's expensive to drive.
It is. I mean, just the whatever it takes to acquire the car, insure it, and maintain it is not inexpensive. And you know, for me, driver education is very, very important. I've been doing that most of my adult life, and you know, typically racing oriented stuff. But you know, the thing is, when you've spent a whole lot of time racing and teaching, you know, this advanced level of driving, you do not. You know how dangerous it is on public roads, and it transforms your driving.
Well, I think some people, if they just focused on driving, would be great. But the problem is that they're doing a lot of things other than driving. They're making plans for their next destination, trying to figure out what they're going to make for dinner. And that's just distraction, and that leads to collisions. Mm-hmm. And then there's the more obvious stuff, using their cell phones, playing with the stereo.
Yeah.
And those things have a consequence in terms of if the police are watching you do it. If you're weaving all over the road and you're playing with your stereo, you're going to get a ticket for careless driving. If you're playing with your phone, you're going to get a distracted driving ticket, and that's going to be much more expensive. But you should be doing nothing other than driving.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the systems in cars today, the newer cars, make it very easy to deal with all of these things that we do today. So the SUV I'm driving today has wireless CarPlay. Mm-hmm. So the phone sits in the wireless charger. Apple CarPlay is on the screen. If I need to make a phone call, well, I can ask Siri to do that. If a text message comes in, I can ask Siri to read it to me.
And I use that exclusively. It's still a distraction. It's still not as good as just being focused on the road.
Right.
And some would argue that because of the errors that Siri occasionally makes, that it could even be more of a distraction, because I get angry when it reads me back my text and it's wrong. So I'm screaming at Siri. So that's a distraction. But also, I want to know, you know, you might have nested menus to turn on your tushy warmer. And, you know, that should be voice controlled too.
Well, you know what? A lot of cars have the voice integration has gone up. But what they haven't done is allowed the voice integration to delve into those systems. So there are very few cars that will actually do that sort of thing. And you know, when that first started happening in modern cars a few years ago, those are the questions I was asking. It's like, well, if you can ask the car to do this, why can't you ask it to change the climate control? Why can't you ask it to put on your heated seat?
Well, that would require an integration with, if you're taking Siri as now the new CarPlay is taking over, you now have to go backwards. Right now, you're having one output of simply utilizing an output for audio and video. But if you're now having to control other systems, that's a larger integration. And I could see that being, you know, a concern for auto manufacturers.
Yeah, well, you know, cars have so many onboard computers now, it's pretty crazy. That's another story for another day, but there was one Bentley I drove recently has over 100 computers on board.
No kidding.
100. 100. Anyway, that's the end of this segment. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. Up next is Greg McPherson from the Motorama Show, which is back in the city next weekend. We're going to have Greg McPherson right after the break. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with special guest star Sean Shapiro from the Toronto Police, and that's because Alan Gellman is on vacation. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And we've got Greg McPherson from the Motorama Show on the phone with us. Greg, how are you?
Excellent, guys. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us. It's a big year for car shows coming back. I know last year you moved the show around a little bit to make it happen, but now I think you're back in your traditional March date, right?
It is, yeah. We're March 10, 11, 12, and back where the show has been, other than the pandemic, I guess, every year since, I think, 75. So, you know, it's kind of funny with the snow and things going on outside. Last year, we moved it to the end of April just to get off some of the restrictions, as you said. And it was almost too nice then. It was too springy. So this still feels like the old times with the show and where it should be.
Well, especially with all the snow on the ground today. But, you know, when I looked at the website a little while ago, you've got a lot of stuff planned around this show. Like, it's a big time show once again.
It is, and we're trying to figure out if it feels like 2019 or even better. Like, this will be our eighth time doing the show. And as you know, probably we got shut down halfway through in 2020 and didn't do anything in 2021. But it just feels like our last strong uninterrupted year was 2019. And like we're sold out, you know, space sooner than we've ever been, and just so much interest. And we kind of take heart as well. Like, we heard about the great, you know, Canadian International Auto Show and the turnout they had for that. And we're expecting and hoping for similar.
Well, I think there's a whole lot of reason. I mean, right off the top, you've got Dave Kindig, and I'm a fan of his work, and I think for that reason alone, I've got to go to the show. If you don't know his work, Greg, I'm sure you can explain what he does.
Yeah, just an incredible builder. So a lot of people would know his work from his TV show Bitchin' Rides, but if you ever have the opportunity, like say, to go to SEMA or, you know, some of the other car shows, you know, his stuff wins regularly. It's just unbelievable. So and just the presence of his TV show, it is really neat. We're so glad that he's coming. I haven't, you know, hung out with him, but everyone who's met him just says he's incredibly personable, really nice guy, and he'll be there on next Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th. And just meeting people and hanging out, and it's a lot of interest in him coming. And as well, we've got Ad Chad and his wife Jolene. They're coming straight from Australia. They're down at a car show there now, and they're doing a roof chop over the course of the weekend, in addition to, you know, signing autographs and, you know, selling shirts and that type of thing. So lots of interest in him. He's got a huge following. They've kind of transitioned from their TV show that they had done to they're on YouTube pretty much every night, and I think their popularity's only grown, so lots of interest in them as well.
That is fantastic. Now, if people are looking for tickets, you can go on your website, which is
motoramashow.com.
Right. And you've got different ticket options. So there's adult, seniors, kids, family passes, and multi-day tickets as well.
Yeah, so, you know, some for everyone. So if you go to motoramashow.com, you can check it out and see what's available. Yeah, it is just going to be very busy. We've got, like, I think it's over 400 cars we've got lined up, all of them almost first time shown, just, you know, amazing vehicles, and all different types, like custom cars, hot rods, classics, tuners, trucks, monster trucks, you know, just big wide variety of it. So if you're into cars and also motorsports is a big part of our show. Coming from our background, we do a car racing magazine called Inside Track Motorsport News. So a good portion of the show is racing, and that's one of the neat things with this year, us being back on our traditional date as well. Last year we were too close to the start of racing season, so some of the tracks and series couldn't come, but pretty much all of them are back this year and excited to kick off their seasons at Motorama.
It's an amazing show. Toronto Police used to have a booth there. In fact, I was there the day that we had the shutdown early, and I was really disappointed because I was having so much fun. So I hope to come see the show, and hopefully we can come back and have a booth there again.
That would be awesome. Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. So, it's going to be busy, and we're really looking forward to it. It just feels like old times and the excitement, and, you know, no trepidation about, you know, what might happen, and like we kind of did last year, and should we do it? But it's full speed ahead this year.
I can't wait to get there. Of course, you know, motorsports is my thing, so there's always something new for me to learn. Even though we're racing in the States, but you know, we may do a little bit of racing in Canada with our new race cars. So we'll see how that goes. But I love all the racing gear, and I'm probably due for probably some new racing boots or gloves at this point.
And beef jerky, because there's always beef jerky at these things.
Oh, is there? I need that too.
Absolutely, yeah. So most of our booths are focused on, you know, automobiles and then racing, but yeah, you get the odd one, you know, if you get a little snacky, peckish walking around, you can find something.
Always.
But obviously got over 400 cars in the building, and that's great, but there you also have products that car enthusiasts can use as well.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the booths, like say gosh, Meguiar's comes. We've got a bunch of different ones. So, you know, for people who love their cars, which is about pretty much everybody in the building, you know, there are products there for them to, you know, either maintain them or improve them.
And this Friday, the opening day of the show, is Students' Day for Motorama.
Yeah, so that's a tradition of that, of the show going way back. And yeah, we're expecting probably about 3,000 kids. Usually in a program, you know, shop, that type of thing, or automotive. So the kids are interested in cars and racing. And so we'll do certain things, like, say, on the stage, we'll put a bunch of people sort of that would be of interest to the kids, where they can connect the dots and see, you know, someone from a college that's got an automotive program. You know, I hate doing math, but if I stick with it, or, you know, I can find an application that can end up either growing my hobby and I can, you know, stay involved that way, or possibly find a career in something you like. So just try and put some people in front of them on the stage there to talk about, you know, some things to maybe spark an interest in the field, because we all know that to perpetuate, you know, this hobby, that we need new blood coming into it all the time. So it's good to get, you know, young people interested however we can.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all about that. And, you know, the race cars that we have, they require, a data engineer. So you really have to have a computer science background to work in that role. And, you know, there are very few motorsport programs around, but if you're focused and you want to go down that path, there's a career in motorsport, and you don't have to dig too far to find that path.
There's a fella right now, he's down, I think it's Sebring, in the USF 2000 test, Matt Clark. He was on the cover of our magazine a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's in the automotive school in Oshawa. He'll be on that panel on the Friday. So it's you know, some kid who's racing F2000 cars. He wants to be an engineer on a racing team when he's not racing. So if you're a kid that's got a passion for cars and racing, you just see it right in front of you. This kid will say, here's what I've done, and here's how you can do it.
And it's no surprise that he's successful, because if he has an understanding of engineering and can drive the car, he's a bit of a secret weapon.
Yeah, it reminds me of he was not a kid anymore, but Cole Pern, who used to race CASCAR, and really nice guy, and he was an engineer, and then, you go down to Daytona and the cup races, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's working on a cup team, and the next thing you know, he's the top crew chief in NASCAR.
All right, Greg, we've got to go. What's the website again for Motorama?
MotoramaShow.com. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks very much. That's next Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and that's at the International Center. So be sure to get your tickets, and we'll see you at the Motorama Show next weekend. Greg, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with Dave's Corner Garage after the break. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max, in studio with special guest star Sean Shapiro from the Toronto Police, because Alan Gellman is apparently on vacation, as far as we know.
He's possibly having a better time than we are.
I don't think that's possible. I don't think that's possible. We're having a great time. We're having a great time. We were saying over the break that at the Motorama show, there's a lot of ways that car and driving enthusiasts can find ways to enjoy their passion safely.
Well, that's it, because we hear from all sorts of people who are stunt driving and speeding and carrying on the roadways in a dangerous way. They get charged and go, well, if you'd only make a track available to us, we wouldn't do it on the road, which is baloney. They choose option because they choose this option, and that's it. If you want to get involved with racing, there's tons of ways to do it.
And inexpensively as well. You know, there are a bunch of tracks that are close by that you can get on the track for $40-$50.
Relatively close. It does take a level of commitment, but hey, if you're an auto sports person, that's no biggie.
That's what I did from when I was a kid, and now look at me. I'm apparently own some race cars that need to go racing.
It's kind of worked out well for you.
some days, but there's lots of ways to go about this safely and enjoy it. And Motorama is a great place to start, because they have all the organizations there. So if you are curious and don't know where to start, that's a great place to go. Plus, you get to see lots of cool cars, and if you intend to go to the racetrack, you can probably buy a helmet as well. So
the supplier stuff to buy.
Yes, well, I have a really cool racing helmet. It's a lovely, lovely helmet, and I dig those things. But I'm fortunate that I have the best one you can get. It's very lightweight, carbon fiber, lovely thing. But also, you could buy a car for what it costs.
Oh, I was going to say, it's not your $99 show special.
No. And car helmets are also unique. They're very different than motorcycle helmets, as you probably know.
Yeah, and I've had some experience landing on motorcycle helmets. So.
Yeah, you know a little bit about that. But yeah, so the motorcycle helmets are made for motorcycles, and car helmets are made for being in cars.
The dynamics of collisions are different depending on the vehicle you're in, and mm-hmm. they've got to protect you differently and support. And things like your Hans device and all sorts yes. of hookups. Is that put in after, or is that made from the manufacturer already installed?
The mounts on the helmet for the Hans device are put in by the manufacturer now. They never used to be. When they first were produced and available, most manufacturers asked you to drill holes in the helmet.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you had to do that very carefully. I have one helmet like that, but after that, all of them come with the mounts built in, and everything works seamlessly. And,
makes sense.
I've thankfully never had the real opportunity to test the Hans device.
Also good.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. Well, we want to thank Michael Pierce from the Auto Loft joining us. And if you need extra storage, consider talking to the Auto Loft, theautoloft.ca, about lift solutions. And I didn't even think about it, but they have motorcycle lifts. How cool is that?
And stuff lifts, because like I said, stuff lifts. Stuff yes. and things, very important.
Yes, yes. And of course, next weekend is Motorama, so go to motoramashow.com to see their program. I'll probably go after the show next Saturday. I think that would be a good time to go. And I'm going to, of course, be in the motorsports section.
Well, I think that sounds good. I want to go.
Okay, well, yeah. If you want to join me in the motorsports section, we can do that.
What day are we talking?
Saturday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's my work.
It is. It is. And you can do a live stream from Motorama Show as well.
I just need someone to carry my phone.
can you and I get an intern? Don't you have
we
people?
We need interns.
Yeah. Don't you have people for that?
I have got no people. I am a one-man show.
Okay. Well, you got to find some people.
Okay. We'll work on it.
All right. Where's Al when we need him?
See? He's yeehawing somewhere else.
Yeah. He's yeehawing on the beach, probably not listening to us.
No, I didn't hear you.
No,
didn't
I didn't hear him. Nope. No, definitely not listening to us.
Well, that's it. What else can we say? We've been streaming this on my VoiceOver Cop TikTok page, and yes. we've had a bunch of people here that I feel bad because I've been ignoring them. But you know what? I'll stick around after the show and I'll answer a few of the questions.
Yeah, you've had some questions come in. We've dealt with some of those questions, and obviously here in the city, it's going to be a fun couple of days before the city gets all the roads clear. So drivers out there, please be patient. And that goes for most of the province. It seems like a lot of the province got hit by the same storm. So be patient.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. If you plan extra time, it actually doesn't matter if there's snow or not. If you give yourself the appropriate amount of time that you can drive accordingly, you can drive in a relaxed way, enjoy your podcast, learn another language, check out the radio. But it's when you leave yourself to the last minute and there's stress involved. That's when people really make poor decisions. They increase their speed. They miss turns. They make really ridiculous choices. Do you see the video online of someone backing up on the 401? Like backing up in lane 3 on the 401 because they missed their exit. Unimaginable. Now, you can back up in certain situations on the highway.
Sure. Really one. Yeah.
To assist someone.
Right.
So that's a situation where a tow truck pulls off onto the shoulder. You can back up just to hook up, not to back up a kilometer.
Right.
So if you miss your road, get off the next one, double back.
Exactly.
Better ways to do things.
Well, got to thank again Michael Pierce from the Auto Loft, theautoloft.ca. If you need solutions for your vehicle storage, give Michael a call, visit the website, and Greg McPherson from Motorama Show. Always great having Greg on, and Motorama Show is going to be awesome this year. And of course, we've got to thank a special guest star, PC Sean Shapiro from the Toronto Police.
It is always a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage, and we will be back next Saturday.
Are we listening?
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.